Hey, Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Welcome to The Exclusive. I'm your host, Sharon Tharp. It's the final recap of The Traitor Season 3. You know, it's been a very fun season. I'm excited to talk about the finale, the reunion, everything else. And my guest this week is my friend, Big Brother 26 player, and America's Favorite Player finalist, Quinn Martin. Quinn, how are you?
You know, I'm just hanging out. Here's today's fit check. We have the sick, yes, nasty hoodie designed by Turner. And then I have these incredible pink pants that I couldn't bring into the Big Brother house. But we're out here. We're stunting hard. I'm feeling great. You know, I'm thriving. I'm going to try to match the energy of Big D and Corey. I have some massive shoes to fill, but hopefully I can achieve the goal of at least being half as entertaining and interesting as them.
I have no doubt. Also, why didn't they let those pants in? Too holy or what? Like,
too holy.
Too holy.
They're like, no, we don't want to get too religious.
The line?
And I was like, you know what? Fair enough. I get it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, also, real quick, if you don't mind, Quinn, I just want to thank the listeners. I hit 10,000 subscribers, which was, you know, it took a while, but this is a part-time sort of gig for me. And so it really means a lot that people subscribe and, like, listen to my stuff. So I just want to say thank you to everyone who subscribes. But yeah, Quinn, what's new? How are you?
I'm doing great. Good. I'm so excited for you. 10K is nothing to even remotely diminish. And we're just getting started, all right? I can't wait.
Yes.
This time next year, we're going to be at a million. I'm super excited for that. I Twitch stream 6 days a week at 7:12 Central Standard Time. I cover Dondi. I cover Traitors and Survivor now. And I play video games. That's all I've been up to, I feel like. I'm very uninteresting.
No, I mean, that's cool. I was going to ask you, and maybe this is just me being stupid, but like, why so specific of a time?
Oh, I just think it's hilarious. I just think that's funny. I don't know. Yeah, my fraternity has this joke with like the number 12. And so I feel like I've carried that beyond college and stuff like that. So 7:12 it is.
How did I not know you were in a fraternity? Did you say
it's not like a... No, it wasn't part of my casting or anything. It was like, it's not a national fraternity. It's called Alpha Pi Epsilon. We're called Apes. It's like all theater, band, choir, and gay people. And so it's not like whenever I tell people I'm in a fraternity, there's like a bit of hesitation. Then I have to be like, but we're cool. We're cool. All right. We're, you know, positive. We're nice, you know. Prioritize gentlemanship and respect, things like that.
Season 3 for you, where does it rank among the 3 seasons so far, would you say?
Season 3 for me is definitely number 1, just because we got to have Brittany on our screen. We got to have Danielle on our screen. Unfortunately, last season, we lost Dan so early, and it was like, you know, it kind of took some of the air out of the season for me. This year, we got a lot of my faves and new faves. Like, I follow Gabby on Instagram and TikTok. I didn't even know who she was before the show, and now I need her everywhere. So, to me, this has been, like, the best season. I really, really enjoyed it.
I agree. And even if, you know, we'll talk about the finale, even if some people weren't thrilled with the ending, it's like, I just think the season was super entertaining and no complaints for me. Okay, well, where we left off was obviously the big cliffhanger. I sort of suspected Brittany turned on Danielle because it was a cliffhanger. But what were you thinking going in? Did you think that she had flipped and voted out Danielle, or were you like not sure?
I was so confident that Brittany voted Ivar and that they were going to make a nothing burger out of this, just because they love these cliffhangers that lead to nothing, unfortunately. Which I don't know. I think that it's, you know, Traitors is a relatively new show. And so hopefully we get better at utilizing that, I guess. But I really thought that they played up so much that Danielle flipped, that Brittany flipped on Danielle, that I thought, oh, then that means she voted Ivar.
Yep.
Like, I really felt like they were building up into it. And so when Danielle got banished, I was like, wait, what the heck? This is so sad. Why did they do this to me? But yeah, I got bamboozled. I was tricked. They got me, at least.
Brittany flipped, and it was a little shocking. I don't want to say it's poetic, because if anything, it should be poetic that if Danielle flips on her. But it was just, you know, like, who knew Big Brother Reindeer Games lore would be so strong? Like, it is insane, right? Like, I don't know. I'm just, like, kind of giddy over it, even though it never got renewed.
Which is crazy. When we were in the jury house, people were so confident that there was going to be a Reindeer Games. And they lied to us all the time for fun. Like, it was hilarious. At one point, yeah. A producer was like, it might be a triple eviction. And I was like, is it? And because I was convinced it was a double eviction right after me. And so every single week, I was like, it's a double eviction, baby. I read them like a book. And every time they're like, hard to say. I don't know. And so I was shocked to find out that it wasn't renewed. And then it led to so much drama outside of the Big Brother universe. I wish that it was still on Paramount Plus. Me and my mom were upset about that last night, because she was like, I would have rewatched it before
a lot of people would have.
But I'm obsessed with the fact that something as silly as Reindeer Games led to such earth-shattering heartbreak from Danielle in like the relationship with Brittany. I hope they're best friends outside of this. That's always my hope, is that, yeah, you know, you do everything and you say everything. And it's just like, blows my mind that who could have seen this coming? Not me.
Yeah, it's also, I find it funny that they're like forced to say like BB Reindeer Games. Like, it's such a cheesy name. And I'm like, this is kind of hilarious. But
it was brought up during the finale. Bob was like, you didn't have to do it during Reindeer Games. And I was like, you know, I haven't seen it in a year. But I seem to remember that it was like, that to me was the nicer option, because what if the person survived and then Danielle is facing certain death? But, you know, hey, I can't fact check it, so I just have to take Bob the drag queen's perspective on it as truth. It's crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so do you think, was this the right optimal move? Obviously, we know Brittany does not win the game, so it could be a little bit of like, what's that called? Like a results-oriented sort of thinking, but I didn't really understand why she flipped, because it would have went to Chance anyway. And I also think Brittany had a target on her back anyway. And if Danielle stayed, she could have pushed. I don't know. What do you think?
I definitely think that for the sake of not getting banished by the final, like to make it to the fire ceremony, I think Brittany would be fine. And so in that sense, it would be the right move. But I think that establishing such a like strong connection with Danielle, and I really did believe Danielle, like in the edit when I really did believe Brittany in the edit when she said that she looked at Dolores and Dolores looked at Danielle. I did believe that. I watched her interview with Puya and Rob, and so it kind of left me feeling in the gray on what the actual truth was, or like what it was. Probably a combination of both, but I think that Danielle going out this round guaranteed that Brittany would die at the next banishment.
True.
And so I think that Brittany was just in trouble no matter what, because
yep,
the faithful, they just left too many like faithfuls in. I think that they should have killed Ivar and kept Tom and then let Tom die to like Dolores,
yep,
banishing him. Like, I really think that that was the downfall of the traitors this season, was they wanted to keep in these like very faithful people. And it's because that was their number, but at a certain point they all unionized and took, yep, out like anyone who had an ounce of suspicion on them. So I think that Brittany was screwed no matter what, but for the sake of friendship, maybe she should have just gone for the coin toss by voting to evict Ivar, because
yeah,
I don't know.
That is fair. Brittany, in my exit interview, talked about, which is something I didn't really think about, she said she thought they had Dylan. She was very, or she thought Danielle really did have Dylan. And once she realized they didn't, that's when she was like, oh, wait, we're kind of effed here. And so she agrees that she shouldn't have killed Tom. That was sort of a bad move. Because I also was like, that didn't really make sense. Tom was going after Dolores. I don't know, like, leave all the people that are going after each other. Dylan's just like such like, and even Gabby, like, they're such, they think on their own. They're not really going with the group all the time. And so those are the people that are dangerous, right? But you know, hindsight's always 20/20. Okay, yeah, and the Dolores of it all, like, that was interesting that Dolores in the reunion said Brittany made that up. That was confusing to me. Like, huh? Like, I guess editing could make it look like it was something, but...
My thing is, I have faith in, like, my CBS people that they're not going to lie in the diary room. And so, when Brittany says, it's on the show, I agreed. I was like, she said it in the diary room. You're not, like... I don't know. I was like very honest in the diary room. And I think that like most people are, especially when you have like, you know, Danielle's played Brittany's played twice. And so it's like, that's a lot of times. Like every single time I went into the DR, it was for 2 hours at like 4 in the morning or 2 in the morning to 4. And it's like, you just instantly get comfortable that it's like, I'm just going to go in there and say whatever I feel. And so I don't think that that's going to change just because you're on a different set. Just because the house is now Scottish doesn't mean you're not going to be who you were. And I think that Brittany tells the truth in the diary room. I can't think of an example within Big Brother where Brittany wasn't sharing the truth. And so I thought that was crazy when Dolores was. I felt like there was some projection there where like maybe you've lied in a diary room setting before, but I know my girl Brittany wouldn't. Okay. It was just crazy to me to say that. It's weird.
Yeah, that's so true. I will say though, the one thing I don't really even consider it lying. Don't they at least sort of sometimes make you talk about scenarios that you're probably not going to go with anyway, but they might cut that into the show? Like, it's not lying, but they're like, don't they prompt you to be like, well, what if this happened? Even if you're like, that's not going to happen, but let me play it out for you.
For me personally, it was like a lot of open-ended questions where they're like, and, you know, I'm a yapper. So I feel like my experience versus, like...
Well, Brittany is, too.
That's Brittany true. It's just, like, for me, it would be always be very open-ended. Like, okay, what are you thinking this week? And then I would say, yeah, I really want to get Angela out this week. And so then they're like, oh, okay, cool. And we'd have a conversation about that, and I would share all of my pros. And then they would just ask, like, okay, and if you got the sense that the house is going the other way, do you see any value in that? And then I would just think out loud and go through my thoughts. And if they were to, like, I think that I was just very open in the diary room. And so, and I knew that, like, I'm a super fan of Big Brother. So I was like, I understand that you need to see both sides. In the jury roundtable, I'm going up to bat hardcore for Cam, even though I know Chelsea has my vote no matter what. And so I understand what they need. So maybe that's a little different, but I don't know. Yeah. I think Brittany wouldn't lie about.
No, I agree.
See, that was weird.
Okay. Well, I think it's time. Let's give Danielle a little bit of a eulogy here. Talk to me about her game. She was very polarizing to some of the viewers. I think everyone knows where I stand. I'm a Danielle fan. I don't care what she did. I love her. But give me your eulogy. How do you think Danielle did in this game?
I think that Danielle is a pit viper, and it took her a second to find some momentum in the game and figure out her footing on how she's going to play off others. And I think that at the end of the day, no matter what the theatrics are, she's one of the most dangerous people in reality TV. And to underestimate her, which is what happened. People thought, oh, she's this shaking old lady and she's crying, and so she must be faithful, all this stuff. I think the biggest miscalculation you can have in reality TV is assume that Danielle Reyes isn't capable of being dastardly and nefarious. And that's what we love her for. Her grandkids, you wouldn't believe it, they're okay. It's insane. They made it out of the season. Can you believe it? It's almost as if the Lord has no investment in the like execution of reality TV. I think that she did a great job. She was super exciting. And she gave us some Big Brother 3 realness. Also, Lisa, what was that tweet? I don't know if you saw that. That was crazy.
Wait, Lisa?
Yeah, Lisa from Big Brother 3 tweeted out a picture of her being Team Faithful.
Wait, when was this? I completely missed this.
This is today. I bookmarked it. I'll send it to you. But I think that Danielle will always put on a show that's worth watching and is always going to play a game worth celebrating. People may not like it. Her co-stars might find it exhausting. But the truth is, she's deadly. And that's what we love about her. I think she's great.
That was very well said. Couldn't agree more. We won't go into the whole Lion or Grant. Like, everyone sort of talked it out as much. But and I thought it was interesting, though. They did bring up at their reunion the NDA sort of rumors and stuff, which I do like when Andy does this a lot on Bravo, but like sometimes they'd like to skip over this sort of what's going on in social media and outside the game. I do like when they ask, because that's what people want to know. Like, yeah, the rumor's going around, let's just settle it. I never thought that she broke the NDA. I think Brittany just knew Danielle enough to like look at her and be like, yeah, something's up. She's probably a traitor. I don't know. What do you think?
I felt the same way. No one's cheating, like, especially something like that. And I also felt like it was taken way too far. It felt like to me when people were like talking about it, it was just like speculation. It was like, I don't know if this is what happened. Like, that's what I remember seeing. I might be incorrect, but it wasn't like they were pointing their finger being like, this person cheated. It was just like, I don't know if that's what happened. And that's why the show unfolded the way it did. But at no point did I think there's ever any validity that people would cheat, because honestly, I think a lot of if you're a big reality TV personality like that and you're on a show like Traitors, you know the value and the mission is to provide good TV and provide a fun game for the viewers. And cheating like that would take the fun out of it. And I think that that's something that no one is going to do. Like, I really don't think that. I did think of a way to cheat. If I were Brittany, this is crazy. This is using production as a strategy, which is illegal and you can't do it. If I were Brittany and I was sitting at the table and, you know, you like open the envelope with Gabby, I would pretend to look at a member of production. I'd be like, so do I get to tell her I'm a faithful or no? Or do I tell her my status or no? That's what I told my mom. I was like, yo, if we were some real dirt bags, that's what you could do. But no one's going to cheat.
Oh, God. Production would lose their mind, I feel like.
Because they can't confirm anything, but yeah. I don't think anyone would do that.
Yeah. I mean, if anyone's curious, like, go back and watch my Legends interview with Danielle last year, because she actually talked about, and this is, I guess this was, it might have been after filming of Traitors, I forget. But she talks about, even during Big Brother 7, she was sort of, again, could be what she's saying, but I do believe her when she said, and I think I've heard as much, she wasn't pre-gaming as much as other people, because she does take her NDAs seriously. I think there's a scale with people, like, I'm sure you know, Quinn, but like, there are some people that are a little more loosey-goosey, and then there are some people who are like, I'm not pre-gaming, don't, you know, I'll pick up the phone, but I won't call anyone. Like, everyone has different degrees of like what they consider like breaking an NDA, but Danielle's not that person, so yeah. All right, so we get to breakfast after Danielle's gone. Brittany, we learned that Brittany is the seer. Is this best case scenario, I guess, in that moment? Because no one can, I think she would have got called into whatever they called it, the dinner, if it was anyone else, right? Or no?
I think that was the only way she survived.
Yeah.
The, like, initial whatever. I thought it was crazy. The editing didn't even suggest for a moment that Brittany was within the conversation. And I was like, that should have been the like cliffhanger, not the vote, but the seer. Because I was pretty convinced it was between Danielle and Dylan. Mm-hmm. And then when Danielle dies and bites the bullet, then it's like, oh, it's also Brittany's the seer, by the way. And we move on past it so quickly. I'm like, we could have turned this into a way dramatic, way more dramatic.
It was so it was so anticlimactic. I don't know. It's too late in the game too. I'm saying that. I just think it's too powerful too late. I think earlier it could be fun, but also I guess then you know someone's identity there. Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't like it that much. How do you feel about it?
I agree. It was way too early. I like the idea of I fully co-sign early in the game. They should have made it as culty as possible. Like, I'm talking not a marching bass drum, but a concert bass drum that's like this big. They should have been in the forest with torches lit and playing, and then some crash cymbals. And there should have, like, that person should have been blindfolded with like empty soda bottles where they're going like, get an atmosphere of creepiness for the seer, and people don't even know, like, if they've been found out, maybe, or something like that. Like, they could have, this is like an interesting element of the show that should be used within, like, maybe the first four episodes as just a way to get someone out early on where there's still a lot going on. But instead, it just felt very dangerous. And Dylan called it out where he goes, okay, if Brittany calls out Gabby as a traitor, then that means she's a traitor for sure. And it's like, okay, well, now there's like definitives going into like the fire ceremony at the end where it's like, okay, well, if Brittany survives this and like Gabby were to go home, they're still going to have suspicion on Brittany. So it just felt, it felt like very anticlimactic despite the potential to be really exciting TV.
So true. And also I felt like the little dinner or whatever, it was very, it reminded me of The Circle when they do the little, I don't know, they, I don't even know what they call it, hangouts or whatever. I just, yeah, I agree. It was kind of like, okay, dinner, here's an envelope, let's do some small talk. Kind of underwhelming in my opinion, but I did, I think I could be, my opinion can change. I do think she played it well in terms of just saying, yeah, Gabby's a faithful, because I played it out in the other way, and I just don't see, either way, Brittany was like in the line of fire. So I think she played that well, but what do you think? Was there another way to do it?
Brittany is, Danielle Reyes is one of my favorite, or one of the best players in my opinion, but Brittany is one of my favorite players. She's always been very capable. She's always been a good Big Brother player. And so I was not surprised at all to see her be able to work through in real time, despite the heartbreak of sending your like frenemy home, and you know that that's going to rip a lot of the work that you've done within the like castle apart. She was still able to make a very competent decision, which was honesty. I feel like as boring of TV as it is, honesty really is the cheat code in reality TV competition games. And so I think she played it as well as you could, because if she called Gabby out as a traitor, that just means Gabby's game is over and then your game is over later on. And I don't know. I really feel like there were just too many faithfuls for her to be able to pull off anything else.
That's, now that I'm thinking about it though, because I was like, I think Gabby was a good choice, but what if she pulled Dylan in, made it seem like she was really sus of him, kind of feeling like, you're okay, I'm a faithful, I'm pulling Dylan in, because like, it's got to be, because like Dylan already thought it might have been Gabby, so you could have kept that out there. And then when obviously when Dylan says he's a faithful. I don't know. Maybe that's thinking too much into it. Do you think Gabby was the right pick?
I think so, because Brittany was able to say, yeah, I did have suspicion on Gabby. And I would have called back to the coffin theory and been like, we milked that until it was dry. And the only answer was all three people have to be banished. That's the only way we'll be able to put the theory to rest. And so I liked where Brittany was, where her head was at, saying, okay, I had suspicion on Gabby going into that round table, and I just wanted to put it to rest, and I felt like that was the most faithful thing to do. And it just, like, really makes you look good as someone who's trying to find all the traitors. Like, you want to come off as a good detective and someone who's willing to crack a couple skulls in the name of honor and justice. And so I thought Brittany did a great job there.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely confused Dylan, right? Because, like, he wasn't expecting that. And he's like, well, wait, are they both traitors now? Like, it didn't necessarily take sus off Brittany, but it, I guess, made Gabby a little more sus to him, maybe, possibly. I don't know. Again, it could all be smoke and mirrors, because at the end of the day, they all split the money. So not really sure. But yeah, after breakfast, we just see a lot of sort of scrambling before the mission. Ivor, poor Ivor, he's like, maybe thinking there are two traitors left. Him and Dolores are still going at it. I'm curious to know, like, I know as like a gamer, it could be frustrating to have these people in here, like with throwing rogue votes or completely like off base. I still find it fun as a viewer, but like, what do you think? Do you need those kind of people in the game to like keep it interesting?
Hey, Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
I definitely think that Traders doesn't need to be the most competitive game out there. Like, we already have Big Brother and Survivor. I like the theatrics. I like it when people make funny decisions. Dolores voting out Tom. Everyone else is pointing at, like, Carolyn and Danielle. And Dolores is like, I don't know. Tom's just got bad vibes. And I'm going to vote him out. And so I think that they should be allowed, but I think it's, like, they should totally be included. I just think it's the responsibility of Traders to be able to identify when these, like, lost sheep become a threat to you. You know, like, in a lot of ways, on Twitch, I've been saying that Ivar is the Bowie Jane of the season, where you know what you're going to get from her, and you know what you're going to get from him, and he made it so far that it's like, well, there's no shot. And so now, all of a sudden, someone who is now aimless and maybe a little bit not quite as, like, game savvy, now all of a sudden that person has, like, you know, 20% of the vote. And that's super crucial when you can't reason with them. And yeah. So that's part of the value of keeping the bigger gamers around. But in whole, having the non-gamers around, I think that that adds a fun element. And I think it's worth celebrating, because I think that Traders should just be the, like, you know, champagne toast of reality TV, where it's like, hey, we're all on this fun show and we're all dressed very nicely. That's mandatory, by the way. I think that if you're going to be on Traders, you need to do what Drag Race does, where they take out, like, 13K loans and, you know, they have to win the show. Otherwise, they're broke for life. Like, are you kidding me? If I see a polo on my screen next year, I'm going to lose my mind. At one point, Boston Rob was wearing a Fila zip-up jacket that then they had to put the blackout tape over the logo. And I was like, this is crazy. Are you kidding me? There wasn't a single pussy bow worn by a member, like, a dude. There was no high fashion. Thank goodness, like, there were some people willing to take risks, aka, like, Bob Harper. But that's the real tea. If you're going to be on the show, you need to be well-dressed. But I think the non-gamers should be invited.
That's hilarious. I was actually going to ask you, and we'll talk about it. I was going to ask you about the reunion looks, because I do want your thoughts on them. But who would you say was, like, the best dressed in the castle? I really was digging Sierra's looks, and I talked to her, and she said she pulled those all together herself. So, like, I think she was good. And then I didn't realize, I think I insulted Tom Sandoval, because I was like, because I had heard he lost his luggage. And I was like, oh, that makes sense why you were wearing a, like, tracksuit in the first episode and all the promo photos. Like, that doesn't fit like a Scottish castle. He's like, no, I love that tracksuit. I was like, fuck. Like, I didn't mean to insult you, but, like, it just didn't fit the theme. So, I don't know. Who was, like, the best dressed, in your opinion?
I think that Bob Harper was up there. Bob the drag queen will always look wonderful. Ion, I really liked her looks. I thought she looked great. I agree with Sierra. That one hat that she had looked so good. It, like, fit her perfectly. It was mostly the men, I feel like, who were you know, asleep at the wheel. And I was just really disappointed, where it's like, let this be a PSA. If you are a dude and you're going on the Traders, send me a text, give me a call, and we'll make this happen.
Services.
Okay? We need corduroy. We need some, like, 70s flare Love out. If you're going to wear denim, it needs to be something interesting. Like, a Canadian tuxedo could be very fun if you had, like, a bolo tie. Or a bandana wrapped around your neck, something, anything. But I definitely thought that Bob Harper brought the heat. I was always very thankful that he was on screen, because he looked good.
Yeah, good point. He was probably one of the only guys. Yeah, speaking of, like, Dylan, he just kind of dressed like himself, it seemed like, which, you know, no hate. But I wanted to talk about sort of the Dylan and Britney thing, because, you know, I think when you get to a point, it's just like, why are we pretending? And it was very clear that both of them knew that they were not on the same page. Britney picked up on the cues. Dylan's going after me. I just don't know, like, Britney's plan once she realized, okay, yeah, Dylan's definitely going to go at me at the round table. Let me get all the girls together against him. Was that the right move? Was there another play, like, or was that the only play? I don't know.
I really liked where Danielle's head was at with that. And something that she shared with Dolores that I thought was really smart was, Dylan is going to banish everyone until it's just him and Gabby. I thought that was great, because if you're a faithful, we'll box in the parking lot. If you're a faithful and you make it to the end and then someone cuts you for the money, like what happened with last season, I would be so pissed. And yeah. I thought that was great, where it's like, hey, just eliminate the boys club of it all. You know, you have Ivar and Dylan where they're, and now Gabby, who's like guaranteed. And it's like, Dolores, just to cover your bases, you should vote with me to get Dylan out.
Dolores is not reasonable. Like, I don't know. She votes more emotionally. So that's the tough part.
Which blows my mind, which is maybe a hint that she made it too far by the traitors. But I really liked the way that she collected all the evidence. And she, to me, that was like experienced reality TV veteran, yes, versus someone who hadn't been. And you could see that Dylan was like blown away and was kind of uncomfortable of like, wow, you're like bringing the heat. And she goes, yeah, if you're going to say my name, I'm going to pull out my notebook, bring all the evidence, and then talk to the manager. And she's like talking at him. Great. And I'm like, it really reminded me of like my time in the Big Brother house. There are a couple times where, you know, Tucker is accusing me of throwing his clothes on the floor. And then it's like, okay, I'm not even going to hide it anymore. Like, you're pissing me off, dude. And this is why it would be dumb for my game. And it's like, that to me, it felt like you poked Britney in the wrong way, where not only are you saying that she's like a traitor and is this dastardly murderer, now you're upset with her for going after you and defending herself. And that's when like I felt like the heat really came out. And so I thought she did what she had to do. It was kind of, I don't know, like, it really felt like a Hail Mary. I really think that, yes, she was in a sinking ship, as it was. And it was really unfortunate. I thought she gave one of the best deliveries of evidence of the season. It was like her and Derek, I felt like, oh, and Danielle, of course, against Carolyn, where they had all the receipts and they provided a case and pushed it forward. And it's interesting that two of the three times that a case was very solid and presented to the group, two out of three, it didn't work. And so it was very fascinating. I thought that she did a great job with what she had.
Yeah, especially because Dylan has been so faithful, right? To come out, she said, like, you know, the way that Danielle reacted to him was weird. The way he wanted to see her power was, like, a little weird. Who makes the best, you know, the most sense for as a recruitment? Like, I do think, given what she had, which was not much, she did do it really, really well. I didn't love Dylan's reaction, if I'm being honest. I think this is the thing with traitors, is, like, it's a very like, well, if you're faithful, you're moral and all this. And then if you're a traitor, you're not. It kind of gets a little ugly, like, because it kind of borderline goes into real life when it's not, it shouldn't. And I feel like when he was like, you're attacking me, it's like, well, no, like, she's providing evidence, just like when you and Bob the drag queen went at it. So I didn't love that reaction from Dylan. I don't know how you feel.
It feels like when you're a faithful for too long, it like corrupts yes. your soul. And you start looking at people and it's like this posturing and this energy that you are pure because you know that you're a faithful. It's yep. like, if you are faithful, it has to be every night you go to the hotel, you have the Green Goblin mask being like, you're the only good one. Everyone else is just this terrible person. And I loved it when Gabby was like, to be a traitor, you have to be a psycho. It's like, well, she's being funny. And yes. instead, Dylan was like, yo, you're straight up, you're going to jail after this. Like,
yes.
you have a lifetime of prison in front of you. Someone do an audit. Is she doing her taxes? Get her behind bars. Anything. I definitely think that being a faithful kind of emboldens people to posture themselves as greater than. which is always
Especially when they're like, I could never be a traitor. Like, yeah, maybe you can never be a traitor because you're just not a good liar. You just, but like, it, yeah, it just feels a little icky sometimes when they go there, because I'm like, guys, this is a TV show. This is a game, right? Yeah. Like, let's chill a little bit. But ultimately, you know, Brittany does get banished. I think, I don't know how you feel. I think she was a dead woman walking going in there. I think she put on a really, really good effort to switch some votes, but like, didn't it seem like they were sort of set before they even went in there? I don't know.
It really felt like they were zoning out, but still nodding their head along, where it's like,
yes,
so true, bestie. Yep. Yeah, you're right. That is pretty suspicious. That's crazy. Anyway, Alan, let me know when we're going to chalk it up. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like, that's what it felt like. I thought Brittany's goodbye was really good. We've had some really good exits.
Let's hear. Which ones you liking?
I liked Wes. Wes is sassy to Josh, and he says that Big Brother people are psychos. So I want to dislike Wes, but him flipping the bird to everyone is admittedly very funny. I thought that Carolyn's goodbye was so money. I thought Bob the drag queens was gas pack. And I thought Brittany was the way to end strong, where she was like, if you, I don't even know what she said. She was like,
I don't know, wind or something. What did she say?
And she just dipped. And I loved, she was like, don't come for me unless I call for you.
That was good.
Oh my gosh, Brittany, who let the dogs out? Come on. Oh my gosh. She's so cool. She's so cool.
This is the Brittany, like, you got reminded, like, oh, this is why we freaking love Brittany. Because she, people, like, listen, I think because she was quiet for a lot of the game, maybe people didn't think she had it in her. But, like, if you're a Big Brother fan, you've seen her DRs, like, she can be ruthless. And she nailed that line. I love that line.
It was so good. Oh, my gosh.
It was so good. All right, well, give me a little bit of a Brittany eulogy here. Like, she was the, you know, the last traitor standing, although she was a recruit, last Big Brother person in there. You know, yes, she played the game very differently than Danielle and even the other people. But what do you think about Brittany's game in the traitor castle?
I'm a firm believer that Brittany is the funniest person in reality TV. If there are zero Brittany fans, it means that I am dead in a ditch. There's nothing she can do wrong. She represents Big Brother in the best way possible. She showed off what a like real social game combined with strategic savviness without the need to show off can really do in a game like this. I'm sad that she was lambed to slaughter. It felt like they were marching her to the gallows. She was destined to die, but she put on a good show from start to finish. The only crime of her game was that we didn't get more of her. You know, her and Gabby were like competing, I felt like, through the editors of like who the funny person is. And I felt like we should have just gotten both, you know?
They're both in different ways. Like, they're not the same funny.
They're hilarious. And I just think that Brittany's magnum opus was her during the competition where they're moving the gum guy from Night at the Museum, if you know what I'm talking about, those statues. Like, when they're moving that, that was her magnum opus. That's when I feel like the public got her sense of humor. And sad to see her go, but she's the best to ever do it. She's one of my faves.
I love Brittany. Great game. But yeah, it was, I was bummed to see her. Because also, it left four people that I don't dislike the winners. But, you know, it's kind of, when the traitors go out, it's four faithfuls left, and they're probably not going to cut each other. It's just kind of like a want. But wait, Quinn, we totally forgot about this mission, which probably did not mean anything. But, like, any thoughts about this helicopter thing? I kind of glossed over it. I don't know.
I love that the last 2 years, they had Suri swimming in shark-infested waters, climbing the highest ridges you've ever seen in your life. And then this year they're like, all right, you're going to press in a code and there will be a burst of smoke. I liked their outfits. I liked that everyone looked like they were here for a heist. I thought Dylan sold the look with his little ski cap. I wish that Ivar was wearing like a shiesty or a, what's it called? A ski mask. That would have been very funny to me. The vintage cars. They should have let them drive.
Yeah, what the hell? They were in the passenger seat?
That was so lame. I was like, it would be funny to find out that, like, who wouldn't know how to drive stick shift within them? Like, I don't know.
Well, I definitely can.
Oh, yes. I love the idea of one of them stalling out and, like, needing help. Like, I just thought that that would be very funny. I would have called dibs on the maroon one. I'm hoping that, you know, they have that laying around somewhere and they can send it to me. I don't know. But them hanging from the helicopter, I was like, this is fun, I guess. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It last year, it felt so physically demanding and intense. And it was like running water and they're like jumping over lava. And then this year they're like, everyone get in the SUV. And then they get out of the SUV. They do like one thing. They went to the unicorn forest and then that was it. Like,
that was a bust. I was like, what is this?
The bags of money were this big. It should have been a massive duffel bag. Like, that would have been fun. I don't know. It felt really anticlimactic, honestly. Like,
and it's always, you guys can double your money. It's like, yeah, because we're in the finale. And like, no one even remembers how much money is in the prize pot. I think they ended up with 200 something. So between the four of them will be 50K, but then you got taxes. I mean, they're not walking away with like a ton of money, but yeah, I don't know. Again, I hate to be that person that's always complaining about the missions. I just think it was like kind of a flop, but yeah, you know.
It felt very rushed. It felt like they didn't care about it. Honestly, no. Like last year, it's like the traitor's like seal of the editors is that it's like manufactured like stress that the clock is going to run out.
Yes.
And it's like, it's even bled into Dondi like two episodes ago. He's like, Joe is counting out. He's like 10, 9, and it's a wide shot. And you can see the hourglass has this much sand in it. And I'm like, we don't need this to create urgency. That's the word I was looking for. Manufactured urgency. And so it felt like they heard the complaints about the challenge and they're like, okay, yeah, no one cares about this. Let's just get through it. We don't
just make it cool, right? And they're flying in a helicopter, whatever. Like,
there's a ring of fire and no one cares. It's like everyone's asleep, but
yeah. Well, speaking of the fire, we go to the fire. It's the four of them. Was there any inclination in, like, did you think anyone was gonna cut anyone? I guess Dylan, maybe, but obviously.
It's like, hello. If I'm Gabby, I would look at them and be like, which one of you is the most like devious person? I'm gonna go up and pitch like, hey, we should banish someone. And then you like at least get it down to three. And then I would dap up whoever the person was and be like, let's get this thing to two. At least do something. Like, you have a commitment, which maybe for like traitors 12. I'll be on and that's going to ruin me in the end game where they're going to be like, well, Quinn actually had an interview with the wonderful Sharon Tharp. Yeah. 12,500,000 subscribers. Yeah. That's Sharon.
Yes.
Quinn said that he would do that, but that's my thing. Even if you're faithful, you have to do the good TV thing and throw the fire and be like, you have to, it's like you have a commitment to the people, but instead
I know Gabby said the union show. I totally agree. I know Gabby said she was there for the money, and I'm not trying to poo-poo like $50,000 because like that is a lot of money. But someone like Dolores, I don't know everyone's financial situation. It just seemed a little like, take the risk, like make some good TV. You guys, the whole reason a lot of you are on this show is to build up your reputation and do something else. Like, I'm sure a lot of them aren't on this show for one, the money, or two, just to like play a game. They're there because they want to be on TV. And so, yeah, just like, I don't understand why you wouldn't, I don't know. It was too, and I know Gabby said that, she's like, it's very kumbaya. Not my favorite.
You actually made a really good point where it reminds me of when Boston Rob got evicted and he had that round table where he calls out Bob the drag queen. A lot of Twitter was saying Boston Rob just secured him another TV show. And I think that that's like the behavior that we should reward. Like,
yep.
I have some Survivor friends who are a little bit fed up with seeing Boston Rob on their screen, and I can understand why. But the truth is, he always delivers. My mom loves Boston Rob. And so it's like, I think that he was the golden example of, hey, even if you're on a sinking ship, you need to secure your next appearance on a TV show. And so you need to deliver the fun, campy moments that we're looking for as viewers. And that should extend all the way to the end where you've got this circle of fire and, you know, who's pure, who's not. I don't care if you are, but I'm going to point my finger at you and say that you're a dirtbag and I can smell it a mile away. Like, that's what I think they should be doing.
Yeah, I think, you know who I think has this figured out? Some of the people on the challenge, I think they're the ones that get it. They're like, there's like 40 people here. I need to like make a name for myself and make some splashy TV. And yeah, I don't think that was, I guess, the motivation for these four, but maybe it should have been. I don't know.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, what else? Do you think they need to change any of the game mechanics going forward? Obviously, the game is going to evolve. People are going to get smarter and sort of game the system a little bit. But like any big, and people have talked about this, but like any big changes you would like to see, or do you think it's sort of good how it is?
I think that they need to lean into the cultiness more. I think that like the first ceremony where they all have the gold masks, if they did that at nighttime, oh my gosh, it's money. But instead it was out in the bright, in the daylight, which now it looks like a Party City mask. But if it's at night, it looks way better. So I think that they need a director of like cult curation, and I'm open for business. But outside of that, I kind of like that the traitors is broken. I like that it heavily favors the traitors. And if you are a faithful, you have an uphill battle. And so I'm not the maddest at the broken system. I know that my friend Corey has a lot of opinions on like the way the show is set up. I'm okay with it being broken because it's just like theater. Maybe they take a note from, and shout out my friends Hugo and Olivia that were on Claim to Fame, where it's like the challenges are an opportunity to learn information that might give away. I've seen that opinion online, and I think that that's, you know, that's probably a step in the right direction. But honestly, I don't need, and I played a lot of Mafia this summer, which wasn't even that much, but it was too much for me. I hated it. I was like, why are we doing this? I don't think we need more roles. I think like the Seer is maybe like a fun thing at the start of the season. But other than that, I don't need us to complicate it any further. Just give us more confessionals with our faves, and I think people will enjoy it.
That's fair. Let's not introduce like a doctor, detective, whatever else. Yeah, let's not go too deep there. I've made some complaints about the challenges being, or you know, up the prize money or something to make it a little bit more interesting. I know everyone gets paid very well to be there, and that's probably why they don't care so much about the prize money. But like that might, I think, could be like an easy switch. And we know Peacock has deep pockets. But yeah, and then there's obviously the argument to be made about like, there's got to be more maybe incentive to get out a traitor because of the traitor angel strategy. I see that. But I also agree with you. Like, I kind of accept this for what it is, which is fun TV. And so when people are analyzing like everyone's gameplay, that's fun. But at the end of the day, like a Danielle, for example, she made great TV. I don't care if you hated the way she played. She is a freaking star. So I get both sides of it, I guess. I don't know.
Absolutely agree. I do think that you're right. The money does feel very arbitrary. Like it's like a second thought, especially, and they weren't as transparent about it with this like final competition where they're like, you now have an opportunity to collect all the money you've lost. At least now they're like, you can double it. But if you miss, you don't lose the money. That me and my mom were convinced that they would lose the money. But they didn't. And so it was only an opportunity to grow. So I'm like, well, what's the risk? Now you're not like disappointed that you missed half the shots. Because if that were the case, then they would have made the same amount of money. Period.
That is so true. I didn't even think about that.
It just feels very arbitrary. I don't know. I commented on Danielle, like posted on Instagram where she's like, hey y'all, I know I'm playing really messy, like whatever. And I can explain, you'll see it. And I commented, this is early in the season. I was like, you never have to explain yourself. And then as the season has continued on, it's just getting more and more likes where people are coming around with Danielle where they're like, wait, like her fake crying and shaking, like, I bet on set that that's probably very exhausting when you find out that she's a traitor and you're like, she was doing all of that as a traitor. That's crazy. But it worked. Like they were always surprised that she was until it got to the very end where it was so obvious. But like, I don't know. I'm very like charitable when it comes to the way people are being painted on the screen, where I'm like, if you're not saying anything hurtful and you're not being malicious,
exactly,
mean, I'm not too worried about it. Like, you can be campy. It's fine.
Yeah. That's what I said. I was like, give some people some grace. I mean, I say the same thing about Big Brother. It's like, unless they're being a horrible human, fine. But like, otherwise, like, whatever, like, please. Okay. Well, before we talk about the reunion a little bit, I gotta know, who do you want on the next season of The Traitors? They're casting right now. I think they're going to film May, I want to say. I know you sort of put some thought into this. I would love to hear.
Yes. I have a million thoughts.
Are we sticking with Big Brother, or is this everywhere? Are we going all over?
This is pulling from everywhere. I have one Big Brother, like, representative.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. CODA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist CODA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at CODA.com. That's CODA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Perfect.
I have Bear from Alaskan Bush People.
Don't know him, but I support it.
It's all over. Their show is all over my TikTok. And his whole thing is he's very extreme and it's very campy. I think that he would buy it. I think they could convince him that the people are actually dying. And I think that that is good TV. I like their family is like crazy in like all the ways that are good. It's just good TV. They're very like, it's incredible. I think Miss Piggy from the Muppets, if we can't get her in Knives Out, which that's where I got this idea was that we need a Muppet on the next movie of Knives Out. I hope she's on The Traitors. I don't know what Arissa Cox is up to, but you know, let's get her a gig. All right. Let's get her on our screen. I think Sean Evans from Hot Ones, the bald guy. I think he would be great. Robert
Irwin. Viewers.
Yeah. It's bringing in a new audience. Robert Irwin. Irwin's son. I think that he would be the rebirth of Pilot Pete and Dylan Efron. I think my new friends, Danny Butler and his mom from The Amazing Race. They're the ones from Walla Walla, Washington.
Oh.
My vote is that they are a combined seat. Like, they have to share the same seat, and they're voting together at the round table. They're only one vote. I don't know, but I think that'd be funny, where it's like, because Amazing Race is all about your duos. I think Jeremy Wade from the River Monsters reality show. They had to cut that show because they caught all the river monsters. He's crazy. No.
Like, wait, is that the one where they shoot the alligators?
I don't know. Probably. They probably killed an alligator.
Or that's Swamp People. I don't know. Yeah. I get these shows confused.
I think Demi from The Bachelor would be great. She'd be great representation. I think Chris Angel, Mind Freak, would be wonderful.
What's he doing these days?
I don't know. Hannah from Summer House, but I don't know. I've never seen Summer House in my life. Hannah Burner. I watch her on Giggly Squad. That's one of my favorite podcasts. I think she would be hilarious.
Super polarizing.
PJ from American Idol. I went to high school with him. He's one of my best friends. His mom and my mom are coworkers. And yeah. Oh, and Sharon Tharp. And Rico Nasty.
Who's Rico Nasty? Am I too old to understand this?
She's a rapper. Oh, wait. Ann Turner, my twin sister. From Big Brother. I think Turner would be absolutely hilarious because I don't think he would want to get too invested in it. And so they'd be like, who do you think it is? And I think he'd be like, I don't know. I think Turner would be great. And I hope his debut since Big Brother is on the Traitors. Those are my picks.
We shall see. All right. Well, first of all, I love that you didn't go the traditional route and just say all the same names that everyone else said. I also love that I didn't know half the names, because sometimes it's good to like introduce people that like we don't know yet. I've known most of the people on the shows, and even the people that I didn't, it was pleasantly surprised by most of them. But yeah, okay, so no survivor names.
I had Jerry Manthe down, but I didn't want to keep going on. But Jerry Manthe, I sat next to her at a Red Lobster, and there's what? No shot she remembers me. But she's so cool in real life. Like, I thought, I was sitting there with like my jaw on the ground. I was like, oh, this is insane.
Where? What city was this?
This was in Florida. I was sitting at a table. This is so crazy. I was the, other than, who was there? Oh, gosh. Aza. I was the only Big Brother person. And it was like, Jam Jam was sitting across from me. Or Yam Yam. Jam Jam, right?
No, I think it's Jam Jam. Yeah, I don't know.
It's Jam Jam. It's spelled with a Y. That's why I got confused. Yeah. Ozzy was catty corner from me. Then it was like Jerry Manthe. And then it was like, who else? It was like all these massive, gigantic survivor legends. And then I'm just sitting there and they didn't have a clue who I was. And it was like, I was like, man. And I was sitting next to the queen of reality TV, Liz Wilcox. Okay. Because if they're not given a Chili's reward, she's pissed. All right. And we need to see it.
Fair.
Yeah.
All right. I like that. I like that cast. I'm into it. And Quinn, I'm assuming you would play Traitors. Would you ever turn that down, or is that a definite yes?
I'm begging for the opportunity to be on Traitors. I was filled with hope when I saw that Carolyn was brought on, because she's a recent person, and she's like very. I don't want to. She would say that she's weird, and that always resonated with me
in a good way.
And I feel like I fill that like weirdo bucket. So I'm like, okay, we have a chance. If not Traitors, I want to go on Dondi. Maybe I need to do really well on Deal or No Deal Island. And then Traitors is like, you know what? This kid's pretty sick and nasty. Let's give him a call. But
I think that could work, because at least on Dondi, you can make some good ass money too. And then you get the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I do want to touch real quick before we go on the reunion a little bit. It was, you know, people are saying it was a little boring. Did you find it boring? What was your overall thoughts on it?
I thought that this season's like reunion was the best one that we've had.
For sure.
Other than like the awkward discomfort of season one, when What's Their Bucket was like, I for real hate Sarit. That was like uncomfortable to watch. And like, it's like a car accident in slow motion. But this year I felt like we had Bob the drag queen was reading everyone to filth, like just cooking. Everyone was dressed really, really well. I feel like they must have seen my hate tweets. not really, but like it felt like everyone had finally stepped up and thought, okay, this is the big one where we dress nice. There was some back and forth of like, I don't know who you are. And it's like, well, you should. I'm like, I don't know who you are either.
Those are my favorite moments when they're arguing over who's more famous and who's there for screen time. I love that. I eat that.
A slept on moment. Ion's like, this is why you voted me out. This whatever. And then Bob the drag queen says, close second. I was like, oh, get him, come on. It's just back to back to back. I thought that there's also, for some reason, we were ganging up on Brittany. I don't know if I'm just defensive over Brittany, but I was like, okay, we can all relax, all right? Like, she voted out her friend. Okay. Well, her friend is also the most cutthroat, like, player of all time. So it's like, let's not, like, it's part of the game.
I thought the editing between that, it was a little weird, because they're arguing about the Dolores thing, and, like, I don't know. And I had heard that they had gone back, I had heard they talk about reindeer games a lot, and I was like, oh, that's definitely going to get cut. So if that was, like, 20-minute conversation that they edited really choppy, I felt like, it definitely seems like, there was a little tension between Danielle and Brittany, but again, I do truly think Brittany, I believe her when she said that's not how she wanted to end. She kind of felt sort of like she didn't really have another option. And yeah, I get it. Like, I get both sides. And I don't know.
It just feels silly from the start. Okay.
Yeah.
It's reindeer games. Are you upset that you were sent to die in reindeer games? I don't know if it's like, if we're that invested. Is Danielle still holding like malice for her Big Brother 3 cast? Like, I don't know. It feels like, it feels very unnecessary, but it's also someone's feelings. So I'm always going to be sympathetic to that. But it's like, it would be as if I were still upset with chemo. Like, that's weird. It was part of the game. It wasn't the, like, best decision or whatever, him telling Tucker about my upgrade. But it would be strange if I was still, like, shaking with rage and being like, if I ever get the chance, I'm taking chemo out. It's like, no, you should probably just, like, be friends with people after the show. That's always what I'll put out there is, like, as long as no one said anything irreparable, then you should just be friends because
I agree.
Tight-knit community.
I agree. And honestly, I always read it as, and again, everyone's feelings are valid. I always read it as Danielle hasn't been on TV. She wasn't on TV for 20 years. She comes back. She wants to win so bad. I do think it sucked that it happened, you know, the situation, and she thought she could trust Brittany, blah, blah, blah. But I think it really came down to like, Danielle just really wanted to win. And when her dream was sort of crushed, I think, you know, that hurts. So I think that had a little bit of to do with it. Not necessarily like Brittany herself. I don't know.
I think that's a great analysis. Funny enough, my friend Liz Wilcox, she told me, I was kind of talking to her like months ago about the opinions of like other reality TV people and like the way that they spoke about me on Twitter and how it really annoyed me. Because in my opinion, they're wrong. And she pointed out like a lot of these interactions and like people are disagreeing. She asks herself, okay, do they dislike me? Or is it a very competitive person going head to head against another competitive person? And I think to get on Big Brother or Survivor, you have to be competitive. Like part of anyone's casting process, you have to paint the picture that you're there to play and that on day 85, you're going to want it just as bad as you wanted it on day one. And so I'm willing to bet that plays a huge factor of Danielle is super competitive and her game ended through the lens of, well, Brittany put me up. And so I definitely think that that's a really great perspective. There's a reason why you're so popular.
No, I mean, I try to see it from every angle. I don't think it's always that personal. Like, I think people just really want to win these shows. The other thing I guess we saw was we saw a little bit of the Carolyn and Danielle stuff. I actually thought they were going to make more of a meal of this. I was surprised. Carolyn was, you know, it didn't seem as like hostile as I thought it was going to be going in there. But how do you feel about that Carolyn versus Danielle stuff?
So it's like Carolyn is one of my favorite Survivor players, especially in the like recent seasons. And I'm going to rock with Danielle through to anything just because of like Big Brother. And she's someone who I'll always respect. And so it really is hard watching like two of your faves not exactly be on the same page. I was happy that it felt like the stage was split where Carolyn had Gabby with her and then Danielle had Bob the drag queen. So it felt like they had their two like emotional support people there. I think that, I don't know, it's like you can understand, like I can understand why Carolyn was disappointed to lose because she felt like she was playing a better game than Danielle. And it, like, Danielle, their whole thing was that Danielle went after Carolyn first. I felt like Carolyn was going to, like, first it was Boston Rob took out Bob the drag queen. And then Danielle was like, I'm going to weaken Boston Rob by going after Carolyn. And so it's like, I think that from the perspective of Carolyn is that Carolyn played a like better game, but she still went home early because Danielle's a better talker in those high pressure situations. And then, I don't know, I can see both perspectives of like why they're hurt, but I also am just like, can't we all be friends, please? Like,
you know. I think a lot of things can be true at once. And that's why I said, I was like, I don't understand that. Like, why are we saying got to like one or the other? I kind of see both sides and like, these games get really messy and people take it things personally. And like you said, I think the timeline's a little all over the place too. Cause like, I do think there was a point where Danielle's like, no, I won't say your name again. And then she didn't, but then an old time she said it was brought up and it's like, yeah. It gets messy. And, you know, I hope they're good. It seemed like, you know, I don't think they're going to be best friends, but it seemed like the reunion wasn't as crazy as I thought. So I was sort of happy about that. Anything Absolutely. Else we didn't talk about? I'm trying to think. I was, not that I'm surprised because they went out early, but like, it is kind of weird. You have like two huge Survivor winners in Tony and Jeremy up there, and they're really not really part of anything. And it's kind of just wild because like, I love both of them too. So that was kind of like, damn, maybe it was the wrong season for them or just, yeah, I don't know.
I was sad. It felt like they really, this season felt very strange with like the include, what were they called? The Cage Boys?
Your Cage Boys. Boy band.
It was like they included three really big like reality TV personalities in addition to like, I think Jeremy is great. Like Jeremy to me is one of the coolest people that has ever existed. Like he is just cool. And like Tony is so exciting and engaging TV. They barely got any screen time on the finale. And it was like, I think you're right. It was just the wrong season. It felt like they really did their big one of, we're going to get Wes and we're going to get Derek and we're going to get Boston Rob and Tony's there too. And it's like, okay, well,
spread it out.
Yeah. We could have spread this out and it would have been more fun where maybe they have like, well, I guess they had Carolyn as like the new rep, but like you can have new and old of like Big Brother and Survivor where maybe that's a way to like get bang for your buck. So everyone gets the opportunity to shine, but I don't know. It's kind of sad that we didn't even really hear from them. I liked that Jeremy explained to Bob the drag queen of like, if I come to you and say they're saying your name, that means I'm with you. Don't let me die because I'm protecting you. And Bob the drag queen goes, well, now I know that. And I was like, oh my God, that's so sad that we lost Jeremy to such a, in my opinion, silly thing. I've him in the coffin being like, I'll work with you. That's hilarious. It's so sad that we lost Tony and them and we didn't hear from them.
But you're right though. I think like they didn't need to put that many big personalities from one show, like spread it out. Like this is clearly a successful show. It's winning Emmys. Like you're not going anywhere anytime soon. Like I understand, like it was really cool for me to see freaking Dan Giesling and Parvati in a turret, like that was mind blowing to me, and that's really cool. But you don't also maybe need Ceree and Sandra and Janelle all the same season. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being just like a lot. Can spread it out.
No, I think we're right. I think we're cooking. All right, they need to get us on the payroll. Peacock, come on, dude.
I'm telling you, I feel the same way about Big Brother. Like, let me fix the show. I'm gonna go in there, just like switch some stuff up. Any other thoughts on Traitor Season 3, Quinn? Anyone we didn't talk about that you wanted to touch on? Anything we missed?
I really appreciated Carolyn breaking down, like, okay, the way that people perceive me, yes, I'm using it as a strategy, but I'm not milking it. And I thought that was, like, important to talk about, where when you are, like, a zany personality, so often people don't see you as a real person. And so they're like, oh, you're benefiting from the fact that we all think you're crazy. And it's like, well, you still think I'm crazy. Like, that's still insane. Like, you don't value me as a person. And so I really appreciated her getting the opportunity to talk about that. Tom Sandoval, like, people are saying that this
what are your thoughts?
Rehabilitated his image. I didn't know who Tom Sandoval was. I went to his restaurant for a birthday party when I was in LA and it seemed like a nice venue. I heard that he was a cheater. I think cheating is crazy. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of someone who's like cheating on their significant other ever. So I'm not going to super like this guy.
He was funny.
So it was like, yeah, to me, it felt like I was always on like thin ice with Tom. Where I'm like, all right, you don't get too comfortable, buddy. All right. You're still a criminal. All right, you're
earn
still,
your place.
Yeah. I liked that he was kind of the punching bag of the season. When it comes to casting, like, I liked I like it when they bring on a random British parliament. Like,
you do, okay.
Whatever. But not the one that says, I don't do drama. That's crazy. Like, no. I need someone who's spilling royal secrets to the public.
Yes.
Like, they're leaking information. They're like, yeah, we want this person on our show. It just feels weird whenever someone admits that they're not there for drama, because it's like, well, that's not super exciting TV.
Yeah, why would they cast him if he said?
Yeah, it's like, who reached out to him? Like, that's so fascinating. I think that,
any thoughts on this? On Sam? Sam's Britney Spears ex?
You just reminded me. Why did he, like, in the reunion episode, it's like they randomly hot mic him, and he's like, you know, Carolyn said she had a crush on you, Tom. I was like, all right, Sam, play it cool, dude. All right, maybe be like, yo, Tom, don't you think Carolyn looks gorgeous tonight? And she does, and then you're setting it up for a conversation. Aww. Don't just, like, out her. Like, come on, help him out, or make something happen there.
He's used to, like, people, like, saying stuff behind people's back, you know, like, he should know better. But yeah, okay.
I don't know who else was on the show.
I mean, there's a lot of them. Nikki, Ciara, Grishel, the Bambi girls.
The fact that the Bambi girls existed. I like that Bob wanted to be a part of the Bambi girls. I know, listen, I have like blue eyes, and so I know I'm not getting an invite. But if I could be like an honorary member, like yeah, it's like we got to come up with our own team, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I related to that, where it's like I much prefer the company of the ladies. You know, I wasn't trying to form an all dudes alliance in the Big Brother house, and I wouldn't do that in Trainers. I would be so sad. I'd be like, yo, that would have been how I connected with them. I'd be like, I want to be a Bambi girl so bad. But I get that, like, I don't have brown eyes and I'm not a girl. But like, if you're tossing out honorary bids, like, give me a call. I think that they should cultivate the show way more. I think that Alan Cummings is, like, you know, Nightcrawler, perfect level of campiness. Let's get the aesthetic going. Let's get it a poorly lit castle. Like, let's do things in the woods. Let's let it be.
I never thought about this, but it's so true. Like, they do, they like almost put a half measure effort in, like, they go hard with Alan's outfits. They go hard with certain things. And you're right. Like, sometimes it's like brightly lit and it's kind of like, okay, like, we need more kilts in there, I guess, too. I don't know.
That is true. And I think that you should have to submit, you know, I had to show them what outfits I wanted to wear. And you get your clothes approved to be on Big Brother. I think that you should submit it and be like, hey, this is what I was thinking. And then they can tell you, no, that's unacceptable.
I think they do.
That's crazy to me. I'm telling you right now, I right now own like a plaid three-piece suit. I own a maroon suit. I own this like killer double-breasted like pinstripe, but it's black on black. Like right now, as a average person in America, have a better outfit lineup than what half these reality TV like mega celebrities had, and it blows my mind. There wasn't one case of like bell bottoms, like nothing. It was like Kendrick Lamar was better dressed, like he was wearing better pants than people in the House of Traitors. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, they didn't see the Super Bowl bit, but well, yeah. Quinn, I'm so happy we got to talk this through. You're always welcome to come chat reality TV. I hope I come back before the Big Brother season. I'm not really sure. So comment below if you have an idea of like what you would want me to talk about. I watch a lot of TV. But yeah, Quinn, so you're doing your Twitch thing. You're covering, what are you covering right now? Dondi?
Yes, I've been covering Dondi. And through that, I've gotten the opportunity to like meet a lot of people in my coverage, like me and Dixon and Philip. I would argue we're best friends.
Yeah, I love both of them. They're really nice guys.
It's just very sweet. And then I also cover Survivor. Like I always cover it the next day. And that's been a lot of fun. I've connected with Kevin, Camilla, Justin. Like I've been able to like really leverage my like appearance on a TV show as a means of becoming friends with people on other reality shows.
Yeah, this is new for you. I forgot because you were, it is cool. Like, I don't say that enough too. Like, to have Daniel Reyes's phone number in my phone is like actually psycho. Like, if you told me that when I was a child, you know, in high school, I'd lose my mind. So I can relate to you, Quinn. Totally get it. Fun.
It's been very exciting. Like, I'm in a, I'm going to be on this cruise thing. And so I'm in a group chat right now with Howie, Bo, like Danielle, Brittany, Angela from Big Brother 26. It's like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, I got to, anytime I think about sending a message in there, I'm like, got to play it cool. Got to play it cool. Like, oh my gosh.
Who's the messiest in there? Angela?
No, Angela. No, Angela's so nice. Like, she's, it's well-behaved. So funny when the cameras aren't on. Angela is an angel, and I will stand on that. That's the homie. But like, I feel like Howie texts in there a lot, and I don't have any of their numbers saved because I don't want to ask. I feel like that's very embarrassing. But I know who Howie is based off. He's the same person he was in Big Brother 6 and 7, and so
yeah.
It's like I'm a fly in the wall, and I'm like, it feels imposter syndrome where I'm like, man, this is kind of huge for me. This is nothing for any of you, but this is huge for me. Just been super grateful for all the opportunities that Big Brother has brought me, and I'm on your show right now. Like, this is crazy to me. I'm a huge fan of reality TV. I love the community, and I'll take any opportunity I can to celebrate.
I love that. Well, go check out Quinn's Twitch. Like I said, I hope we get to do this again, and please like and subscribe to my listeners, and thank you for following along with the traders.
Hey, Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.